Today we are concluding our Advent preaching series, Why Christmas? And we're going to look at one last biblical reason why Jesus came to earth. And I hope that you're getting into the Christmas spirit because Christmas is only a few days away now. Tonight we have our traditional candlelight communion service, Christmas Eve service coming Wednesday night. As the old song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But for a few moments this morning, I want you to think what this world would be like if Jesus never came to earth. If there was no Christmas. If we moved from Thanksgiving right through the end of the year, right into the new year, with nothing about Christmas. No carols being sung, no decorations anywhere, no hope, no joy, no season to celebrate. What would this world be like if Jesus never came? We'd be lost in our sin. We'd be condemned to life in this world. And eternity would be far from our thought. The ideas of peace and hope and joy and love, which we talk about in Advent, wouldn't be on our radar at all. We'd be far more selfish. We would do whatever we could to get whatever we could as quickly as we could. We wouldn't know what God is like, probably wouldn't give any thought to who God is. Heaven would never come to mind. I'm not sure even the idea of God would come to mind. Life would be miserable, be hopeless, very, very sad. But the birth of Jesus that we are celebrating this week changes everything. It changes the picture completely because God has come near. And now, as we've looked in this preaching series, we understand what God is like. We know what He's like because Jesus was born into this world. And we understand what love is all about because Jesus comes and He redefines love for us. And we understand agape love, that sacrificial love that Jesus demonstrated for us by giving His life on the cross. And last week we looked at a reason of why Jesus came, and that is to seek and to save the lost. He came on a rescue mission for you and for me. He came to seek and to save His beloved creation. But there's one more reason that we need to celebrate today to answer this question of why Christmas. And that's this: Jesus restores our broken fellowship. Because our fellowship with God was broken by sin, and Jesus restores that through His shed blood. We can have a relationship with God because Jesus came to earth. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23 is our text today. And I want you to listen to how Paul describes Jesus in these verses for our final Advent message. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19, Paul says, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." The gospel that you have heard has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. What Paul writes in these words to the church of Colossae remind us that because of Jesus, because He came into this world, we can have a restored fellowship, a restored relationship with the Creator God. We can have a fellowship with Almighty God. And you know, friends, What a wonderful blessing that is. And Paul's writing not those words specifically to the church at Colossae. Yes, he's writing to Colossae, but he's writing to every believer. And he's saying, because Jesus came into this world, you have this restored relationship with the Almighty God. Let's unpack that for that reason here for a few moments this morning. And I want to begin in verse 20 where Paul says that through Christ we are reconciled to God. But not just us, things on earth as well as things in heaven. And here is the point we want to make. If you're taking notes today, this is your first point. Jesus is the ultimate reconciler. Jesus is the ultimate reconciler. Consider the paradox in the words that Jesus, who is sovereign, who is God in human flesh, who was eternal in the heavens, who had all the majesty and glory and the power that belonged to Him as God the Son, had angels worshiping Him, decides to set aside all that to come to earth. And not just to come to earth in the form of a human, but in the form of an infant, totally dependent on His creation, which is fallen, sin-riddled, lost. It's an amazing paradox. He is the ultimate reconciler. Do you remember playing the childhood game, King of the Hill? You remember that game where you had a child on top of a hill or a bank and the other children would come up and try and get the king of the hill off the hill and take over as the king of the hill? We used to play that a little bit when I was growing up over on Bartville Road. We had a bank that was a little bit higher, and so we would play King of the Hill. But here's the thing. That childhood game depicts the typical human approach to power and greatness. You want to be powerful, you want to be great in this world, you got to what? Take down the king of the hill. You got to be on top of the hill. You got to be number one. And here comes Jesus, and He's saying, you know what? The key to being number one, the key to power, the key to being on top is upside down. It comes through surrender. The victory comes through surrender. The agent of creation and creation sustainer, the one who created everything that's around us, who sustains creation, says, you know what? I'm going to set it all aside. All my power, all my authority, I'm going to set it aside and become a humble servant, afflicted with suffering, and yes, even death on the cross. The victory was won by giving His life, not by taking it, by giving His life through His sacrifice. Jesus becomes the reconciler of all things on earth and in heaven by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Romans 5:10 is a great verse. It says, "For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" Jesus is the ultimate reconciler. Reconciliation, we understand that idea that two people are in conflict. What do? We try to bring reconciliation so that they have understanding of each other's position, that they have a restored relationship, that there's no longer bitterness and anger and hurt feelings between them. That's what reconciliation is all about. And that's exactly what Jesus does for us. Because Paul even says in here that we were at odds with God, that we were enemies of God because of the sin in our lives. And Jesus comes as the reconciler, the one who, through His shed blood, brings mediation and brings healing and brings restoration to our relationship. That's why Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul writes that. Paul, who was killing Christians in the early church, persecuted the Christians, and says, "I'm not living. It's Christ living in me now." You want to talk about someone who was reconciled? Paul was reconciled because of the blood of Jesus Christ and became a powerful apostle for Jesus. There's a second point that Paul makes in verses 21 and 22. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate reconciler. We can agree on that this morning. But Paul also gives us a second point, and that is this. Jesus also brings hope to the hopeless. He brings hope to the hopeless. Paul says, "Now you have been reconciled by Christ's physical body through death and to be holy in His sight." Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because we can be reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we who were hopeless, who were dead in our sin and trespasses, who were lost, now have a restored relationship. We are no longer hopeless. We have hope because of Jesus. I believe God looks at us not as evil. God doesn't see us as sinful humans deserving of hell, but rather He sees us as His beloved. And he can do that because the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin. His blood covers our sin. And so when Jesus, or when God looks at us, what does he see? He sees the blood of his Son. We who were hopeless now have hope. You know, that word hopeless is a very tough word to hear. We don't like that word hopeless very much. When a doctor tells you there is no cure and the situation is hopeless, difficult to hear. Or when your favorite team is down by double-digit points as the clock is winding down, it's pretty much hopeless. Or when the doctor says the loved one on life support will never get better and their condition is hopeless. Wow, that's a tough word to hear. A tough word to hear. The word hopeless is painful. It's a depressing word. It can cover us in a shroud of darkness real quick. But Jesus, as the ultimate reconciler, brings us a glorious hope. And boy, does that shine through in the Christmas story. Don't we see the hope that Jesus brings shining through in the Christmas story? In the words of the late great preacher and author Timothy Keller, he says this, "Christmas is telling you that you could never get to heaven on your own. God had to come to you." That statement, simple and yet profound, encapsulates the heart of our sermon today. That God has come to us, and Jesus, born in the manger, who rose and lived to show us what love is all about, and then gave his life on the cross of Calvary, is the ultimate reconciler. He restores our broken fellowship with God. Without Christ, our King, there's no hope. But with him, dear friends, there is not just hope, but there is the assurance of love, peace, and salvation. In the Old Testament, there is no more powerful verse of hope than Isaiah 9:6. And it's a verse we share at Christmas time. And Isaiah 9:6 has been before you for the last 4 weeks. That verse of hope, the most powerful verse of hope in the Old Testament. So I thought today it would be good if we would recite that together. Since it's been before us, let me get out of the way here. Isaiah 9:6, the most powerful verse of hope in the Old Testament. Join with me if you will. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Faith, Prince of Peace." Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Can you imagine reading that 700 years before Jesus was born? That is a verse of hope, a powerful verse of hope. And that is the most powerful Old Testament verse that we have. For an Israelite who is far from God, hearing those words had to bring an amazing sense of hope. You know, friends, we seem to be living in a world that is groaning from the weight of sin. We talked in the prayer time today about all the violence that has gone on recently. We see injustice everywhere. There's no value to human life. People are fleeing for their lives in countries around the world. We have wars on multiple continents, widespread poverty, and in our own nation, as blessed as we are, we see people living without the hope of the truth that God is indeed with us. This Advent Christmas season reminds us that no matter how rotten this year has been, and some of you will say, "This has been a rotten year for me," hope remains. Hope remains. In the beloved Christmas carol, "O Holy Night," we sing, "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in what? Sin and error pining. Till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night, O holy night, O night divine. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices." Why? Because of Christmas. Because our broken fellowship with God is restored through Jesus. And that leads to our final point this morning, and that's this. Jesus' birth is our hope in glory. Jesus' birth is our hope in glory. Just a few verses later in Colossians chapter 1, actually in verse 27, Paul writes to these words. He says, to them, that is humanity, that's you and I, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why Christmas? Because of Jesus' birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. We're no longer hopeless, but we're reconciled to God with a glorious hope that comes when we believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him as Savior and Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amy Grant, a number of years ago, did a song entitled The Night Before Christmas, and the refrain from that song says this, and you don't have to be an angel to sing harmony. You don't have to be a child to love the mystery. And you don't have to be a wise man on bended knee. The heart of this Christmas is in you and me. The Apostle Paul said it this way, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The heart of this Christmas is indeed in you and me. It is Christ born anew in our hearts, the hope of glory. The mystery and wonder of Christmas is God in human flesh, in Christ in you, in Christ in me. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That, my friends, is the thrill of hope. May our weary world rejoice this Christmas that God has come to us. Let me give you some of the blessings that come with our restored fellowship with God. First of all, we have access to God. Because Jesus came into this world, because He gave His life at Calvary's cross, we now have access to God. You remember what was one of the things that happened when Jesus died on the cross? The curtain that was in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies was torn in two, symbolizing that we now have a relationship with God. We now have kind of fellowship with God. We have access to God because of what Christ accomplished for us. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We can pray and know that God will hear our prayers. We have access to God. And we can recognize that Jesus has come to earth to restore us as the beloved of God, the apple of His eye. There's a second blessing that comes, and that is our restored fellowship with God also brings abundant life in this world. We often talk about how Jesus came into the world to seek and to save the lost, that we have this wonderful promise of life everlasting, and that's all true. But Jesus said in John chapter 10, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, the abundant life. One of the blessings that comes with Jesus' birth in the manger is that we have access to the abundant life in this world. We have the hope of eternal life, absolutely, but we also have the abundant life. And that means we are spiritually full of joy and love and peace and those virtues we find in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We have the wonderful hope that we have at Christmas carries us through the year because of the abundant life. This is a gift from God that sustains us through good times and troubling times as well. Our restored fellowship certainly has the benefit of salvation too. That's our third blessing. That is, you and I are freed from the penalty of sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're recognizing tonight. You come back tonight, and I encourage you to do so. We're going to be remembering that because Christ gave His life, that we have this restored fellowship, this renewed relationship, that we have the benefit of being wonderfully saved, cleansed, forgiven, washed anew in the blood of the Lamb. You cannot read the Christmas story and not see the significance of Jesus' saving work. When the angel appeared to Joseph, he said to him, you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save the people from their sins. To Mary, Gabriel said, the son born to you will be called the Son of the Most High. He will reign on David's throne forever. Same words, same message, different words. The son you are about to bear, Mary, is going to be the long-awaited Messiah, the sin bearer, the deliverer, the reconciler. And when the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, in Luke 2, verse 11, we read, today in the town of David, what has been born to you? A Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And our key verse, one of our key verses in this preaching series has been John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Jesus will be saved for all eternity. Jesus' birth and His reconciling us to God is all through the Christmas story. And because of that, we have the wonderful joy of knowing that we can be saved for all eternity. There's one last blessing we need to mention, and that is this. Because of Christmas, because of our restored fellowship with God, our life has meaning, purpose, and value. Our life has meaning, purpose, and value. We get to be a part of this miracle of Christmas as we celebrate Christmas, as we share the gospel, as we worship together. We begin to realize that God is active and working in our lives. We get to see how God has gifted us and given us abilities and talents, and we get to begin using them in ministry to God's people as well as into the community. At the beginning of this sermon, I suggested to you to consider what this world would be like if Jesus never came. And I think we could all agree it would be horrific, probably beyond our understanding. But because of Christmas, because of God's reconciliation through Jesus, there is good in this world. And there is good that we need to celebrate and embrace as believers, meaning that we have God's purpose and value and meaning in our lives each and every day. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We get to realize each day the wonderful blessings of Christmas, and we get to share that with others. We get to live a life with meaning, purpose, and value because Jesus came. Let me close with two final verses. 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." That's a great summary of the gospel. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Because of Jesus and the life we find, and life we find through faith in Him, that's a reason to celebrate. But Paul would also say later in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Referring to Jesus. Think of that. Indescribable gift. The greatest gift ever given is indescribable when we think of all that Jesus does for us. That's why we celebrate Christmas. My prayer for you today and this Christmas is that you would know why we celebrate Christmas. And because of Jesus' birth, we understand better what God is like. Because of Christmas, we know what love is. That we are restored and remembered and not forgotten, and that we are blessed with this agape love that we see so clearly in Jesus Christ. And we recognize that because of Christmas that Jesus came for one purpose, to seek and to save the lost. He came for you and me. And we celebrate Christmas that because we are wonderfully saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have this restored relationship with the Father. He doesn't see us as enemies any longer. He sees us as His beloved, the apple of His eye, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that moment, that one moment that changed the world 2,000 years ago, would be recreated in your life this Christmas, and that Christ would be born anew in your heart, that God would indeed come near to you, and that you would know the greatest gift ever given to every human soul, the gift of Jesus Christ. May you know and have life in Jesus the Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen, so be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we have been celebrating for 4 weeks now reasons why Jesus came to earth. Today, our focus has been on the reconciliation that Jesus brings, restoring us as the beloved of Christ. Thank you, Father, that we can have relationship with God because of Jesus, and that we indeed can have meaning and purpose and value in our lives because Jesus came into this world and He gave His life at the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, may Christ be born anew in our hearts this Advent Christmas season. And might we be able to declare, as Paul did, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.